Today's daf is daf Samach Vav, and we're holding on Sabach Yomid Beit. And let's just get our bearings straight before we continue. The truth is that we were in the middle of the sugya, because we're going to come back to it, regarding Rav's Shita. Rav's Shita is that you pay Keren She'en She'ganav, Tashlumi Kefal, Tashlumi Arba'a V'chamisha, Kisha'ata Amad Abadin. Now, we examined various scenarios. We discovered that changes in the body is not what he's talking about. So if it was, let's say, Yishmina or Hikrisha, that is not what he was referring to. Changes in market value, fluctuations, what he was referring to. And changes in market value, we also had to limit to the case where it would make sense. And that's Dafka, where it went down in value. So Milachatchila was worth 4. Keren, you pay Kishata Gizela, you would pay 4. But the Arba'a V'chamisha, which is the, obviously not literally Arba'a V'chamisha, because one of the Arba'a V'chamisha is the Keren. But what's left, in other words, that's what Rav means, you would pay according to the current value. Now, in the middle of that circuit, we introduce the new idea, which is we also need to take into consideration, says Rav Eloy, about did it belong to the other guy at all at the time that you did the Maisa Tvicha Umechira? What would make it possibly not belong to the other guy? There is a Shinui. So his chiddush is, it's all very nice to discuss, Alib and Rav, changes in the value that were based on changes in the physical, sure, that had to do with variations in how much it's eating or how much it's working, that's Shmena, Khusha. But if you're talking about a change between one stage of development of a shor and another, so you start off with an egel, then it becomes a shor. You start off with a kebes, then it becomes an ayil. Now you're talking about a different animal completely. And since, as we'll see, there's a halacha that shinui is koneh, changes are considered to be sufficient to no longer define the object as the owner's, it is now the ganav's, and the ganav pays, not returns, pays for it. That means that at the time that he does the tvichu mechira, he's not shechting someone else's thing. And therefore, we have no reason to say that that's when the Torah was mechayev him to pay the additional klas of the arba'a v'chamisha. And therefore, says Rav Eloy, you have to take into consideration really three issues. One is the question of changes in the market value, where over there you need to determine whether it's gone up or down. The other is the question, as Rav was not referring to, between kachasha or ishmina, or vice versa, which is changes in the body. But I'm introducing yet a third issue, which is the question of shinuim, between one stage of development of an animal and the next stage, in which it actually goes through such a complete transformation that it no longer is viewed as the same thing. This was Rabbi Eloy's shita. Now yesterday, we ended up with a machlokas, and Rabbi Chanina disagreed, and where he brought his raya from immediately raised alarms in our mind, Lagabi the Shita of Rav, which is how this all, but we didn't focus on it yet. We're going to focus on it today. What about Rav? How does he deal with this, with the side issues that are involved? But Rabbi Chanina pointed out to Rabbi Eloy that it says b'feirush that if somebody steals a tleh and then it turns into an ayah, or an egel and it becomes a shor, the question is, what is the value that you pay for arba'a v'chamisha? And it says over there, you pay ke'en sheganav. Now that would mean, first of all, that I mean, it certainly doesn't tie into Rav. Rav says, you pay arba'a v'chamisha according to the time of the Amud Abedin, which according to the Rush means the time that you actually did the Maisat Ticha. Fine, but whatever it means, it's certainly not ke'en ha'geneva. But let's forget about Rav for a moment. The problem that Rabbi Chanina had was that Alibad Rabbi Eloy, there's no such case. You cannot ever pay Arba V'chamisha in a case where you stole a tleh and it turns into an ayah. Says Rabbi Eloy to Rabbi Chanina. I'm going over this because we left the question hanging yesterday. Says Rabbi Eloy to Rabbi Chanina, you think I have a problem. I say you also have a problem. Because how do you explain the fact that he's paying Ke'en Sheganav? According to you, why would he pay Ke'en Sheganav on the Arba'a V'chamisha? I mean, right now, it's worth a heck of a lot of money. And why is he paying Arba'a V'chamisha? I don't understand. He should be paying, basically, the value of right now. Amar Abedin. Says Rabbi Chanina, very interesting svara yesterday. Rabbi Hanina said, look, there's two issues over here, and you're pretending there's one issue. There's an issue of shinui keine, which defines who the owner is. I'm saying there's no such thing when a shinui happens on its own. A child that becomes a teenager, it's the same thing. It's innate in the child to be a teenager. An egel is going to be a shor. Those are not things that are called shinuyim that you do. However, they are called shinuyim in terms of the simple argument that if a guy goes ahead and he says, I want my money, and the Torah gives me four times as much money. Now I want the money. Okay, the guy responds to the guy. Okay, Seder, I'll pay you. What did I steal from you? I stole a lamb, right? Little lamb. I'm going to give you four little lambs. What do you say about that? Mary is going to be so happy. He says, but what do you mean? You shechted this beautiful shor or beautiful ayah. Well, I certainly didn't steal from you a beautiful ayah. I stole from you a lamb. So therefore, you can't come to me and say, Torah says pay me back four times. If we were talking about stam and change in value, I understand. But I never stole a shor or an ayah from you. It's not shaykh to say that the Torah was b'chayev of me to pay four shvarim. Was b'chayev of me to pay four lambs or four agalim. That's the taina. Rabbi Lai and Rabbi Kanir really went at each other yesterday for how insane the other svara was. Praying to God to save them from the other one's insanity. But the bottom line is that we left off, Rabbi Hanina had an explanation for the Braita. This was his explanation, which Rabbi Loi says, this is sick. And Rabbi Loi did not have an explanation for the Braita at all. It was all very nice to throw it back into the lap of Rabbi Hanina, but he never answered it. So today we're up to the question, as the Gemara says, all right, so the truth is, mikom kom kasha, five lines up from the bottom. First word on the line, but, okay, it's all very nice, this conversation, but can we get back to the issue? Rabbi Hanina asked a very good question to Rabbi Lot. How do you explain the fact that, according to you, there's no such thing as Arbav Chamisha in a case where you stole a tzle and it became an ayah? And here it says, Beferish in the Braita, that there is, and you pay Kishat Agneva. How do you explain that? Om Reb Sheshes, I explain it very simply. He says, Reb Sheshes, I'll tell you, there's really not even a problem to Rabbi Lo from this. The question of whether Shinui is Kena under these circumstances, or whether perhaps, according to some, whether Shinui is Kena under any circumstances, is a machloket Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now, it's true that you're used to thinking normatively that Shinui is Kena, but that's because that's Beit Hillel Shita. That doesn't mean that Beit Shammai didn't author any brightness on the issue. This is going on, Libet Beit Shammai. So you say, how do we know that there's such a machloket? Oh, this is a major machloket. Where? It's a major machloket in the sugya of etnan zonah. Somebody pays for prostitutional services, utilizing a Mary had a little lamb. Now Mary's happy. She ain't the Virgin Mary, but she's happy.
Okay. She has a lamb.
Yeah, now she's got a lamb. So what does she want to do with this lamb naturally? She wants to bring it up to the Lord as a sacrifice. The Christians are very good at, you know... Yeah, exactly. On the one hand, you know, they have to punish themselves, but on the other hand, you still need to have fun. Okay. So she's going to bring a sacrifice. Says the Torah, that's a puzzle sacrifice. That a etnan zonah shall not be brought onto the altar of the Lord. Now, suppose the little lamb grows up, and now it turns into an ayah. Aha! Now we get into the shaila of whether shinui would be kena. I'm going to use an equivalent case, which of course the argument could be made, as Rabbi Hanina would make, not the equivalent case, but according to me, things that happen on their own are similar to things that you do. So suppose we paid Mary in wheat, and Mary went and ground up the wheat and made challahs. Can she actually use that for a mincha? She turns it into solet. Can we use that for a mincha? There's the question of shinui keina. And there, I mean, everybody agrees, that's a real shinui. Ground it up, changed it. Before it's wheat, now it's flour. That's a bigger shinui, but even there, Beit Shammai says that it's still the same thing. Now, I just want to point out, the two sugyot are not really the same. Because here we're talking about shinui in terms of ba'alut. And when it comes to etnan zonah, we're talking about shinui in terms of the rubric. What's its name? Is this called the etnan zonah, or is it not? But it's obviously still owned by Mary. Nonetheless, the Rishonim point out that there's still a relationship between the two. Because if you hold that a shinui is big enough to be viewed as your own to the gazlan in terms of shinui rishos, then we should also say that it's no longer the same object. And the two sugyas are interrelated. Now, that doesn't mean that they're precisely equal. There are issues where we could distinguish. There's a lot of discussion about those issues, and we need them to understand some of the more subtle gemaras later, between shinui in terms of ownership, or shinui in terms of determining status, not ownership. That's all very nice. Which, by the way, touches on another question as to whether the din of etnan is a very special halacha, where the Torah, because of the attachment of the name whores higher, which is just very inappropriate for the Beit HaMikdash, maybe the Torah is giving special rulings over there. And it's there that Beit Shammai says that, well, I mean, the Torah is going to be mipen under any and all circumstances. That may be true also. There are those who say so. But in any event, we certainly do find that there's a different definition of the extent of a change of an object and its impact between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, which the Gemara is now comparing to the change of the object and its impact vis-a-vis Baalut when it comes to the dinim of Geneva. Okay, so we're not pretending that it's the same sugya, but it's a very related sugya. Baruch HaTorah. Hamani, says Reb Sheshes, Beit Shammai, Dom HaShinui, Bimkoma, Omedet. He holds, Beit Shammai holds, a shinui is always, actually it should say Bimkomo Omed, not Bimkoma Omedet. It's certainly not Bimkomo Omedet, which is a contradiction in case. So it's all masculine. So shinui Bimkomo Omed, it should say. You make a change changes nothing. And that's what we say in English. You've changed nothing. And that's shinui Bimkomo, it's still there. Velo Koni, and it's not Kona, and that explains why, according to Beit Shammai, if you make this change, it's still going to be called the owner's tle, which has now become an ayo, or egel has become a shor, you'll be chayev arba amah chamisha. D'tanya, where is this famous machlokes Beit Shammai Beit Hillel? Natan la be'etnanach itim va'azan solet. So you gave Mary for her hire wheat. She turned it into fine flour and now wants to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. Or you gave her olives and she turned it into fine oil. Vasan shemen. Or you gave her grapes and she turned it into fine wine. Anavim vasan yayin. Wants to bring it now to the Mizbeach, to be Menasech at the Mizbeach. What's the din? So Toni Chodah, so we have one brighter that says it doesn't help. You cannot use it on the Mizbeach. But Toni Chodah mutar. Now, there's a contradiction of brighter says Reb Yosef. Actually, Gurion from Asporak taught, Toni Gurion to me Asporak, that Beit Shammai are the ones who say Osrin, and Beit Hillel are the ones who say, look, it's no longer a harlot's hire, because it's different. And therefore it's mutter. What is the basis of their machloket? The understanding of the psukim. My taima, the Beit Shammai, because the Torah says, to avat Hashem Elokecha, gam shnehem. God is disgusted by this stuff, whether it's a mechir kelev, something that you use to buy a dog, in exchange for a dog, or whether it's exchange for a harlot. It's the same thing, it doesn't belong in the Mizbeach. So why does it say, now, gam shnehem? We have two different issues. So gam, saying something additional. It's l'rabot shinu yehem. You could try to change it all you like, says the Pasuk. I don't want this on the Mizbeach. Beit Hillel says, oh, wait a minute. It does say gam, but it also says shnehem. It doesn't say shnaim. It doesn't say otam. It says shnehem. It stresses the word they as they currently are. Hem, only as they are at the time that it was given for the harlot's hire, v'lo shinu yehem. But not if any changes take place. Beit Shammai says, no, that means shnehem, heim velototehem, not something that grew from them. But they themselves, even if you change them, they're still going to be osir. So if you gave her an animal and that animal has a child, fine. And enochinami, there's no psul in the blood. It's heim velototehem. But if you change them, says Beit Shammai, it's not going to help you. To grind it up is not the same thing as a blood. It remains osir. So heim velototehemu deata. Beit Hillel says, look, that's an artificial distinction that you have no right to make. If you're saying that the Torah is being makpid on the thing as it is and not on its output or its reproductive results, so now the next generation of tree or of shor, so then the same thing is true, that the Torah is not makpid on the thing that it became. It's only makpid on it. You can't, it's both of them. Tarte, Shabbat Mina. Heim velo shinoi hem, heim velo v'ladotehem. So now we see clearly there's a machlokas as to whether shinui defines a change, legabe the din of etnan. And from there, I wish to suggest that the same idea is true when it comes to the halacha of shinui keine, when it comes to the halacha of the din of dalet vehe. If you hold like Beit Shammai, it doesn't help that the animal changed. It remains the owner's. If you hold like Beit Hillel, it helps that the animal changed, and now the ganav was keine it. And according to him, Rabbi Loi would be right, maybe. That's called a shinui. Maybe this is a shinui. And according to Rabbi Loi, Aliba de Beit Hillel, Ein Achinami, there would be no Tashlumi Arba B'Chamisha at all. That's possible. Hey, wait a minute, but according to Beit Hillel, what's the gum for? I mean, gum includes now the Rabot Shinuyeh and Beit Shammai said. It's a very good point. You know, if you were left to your own devices, you might think there's no serious difference between a Vlad and a Shinuy Beit Hillel. But the Torah is insisting that in one direction we say it's the same, and in another direction we say it's different. But you're saying in all directions, if it's the change, it's different. Then what are you going to do with the pasuk of gum, which tells you that it remains the same? You're right, I don't have an answer to that, says Beit Hillel. Gam le Beit Hillel kasha. Nonetheless, I cannot create an artificial distinction because of the word gam. There's no logic to the distinction between Vlad and Shinui, and therefore it's insufficient to persuade me that I should agree with Beit Shammai when it comes to Shinui. Okay. So meanwhile, we see that the din is, halacha, perhaps, alibid Beit Hillel, might work well, alibid Rabbi Loi. Now, wait a minute. Adkan oplikid amasova shiduk and amasova ain Shinui kaina. Getting back to Rav, I mean, okay, I'm willing now to recognize there's a machloket over here whether Shinui is kainer or not, but I mean, it definitely did say that you pay like you shasak zela. So Kuli Alma says over here, can me kara mishali? Tiktari mishali, tashumi kebab, tashumi abava chamishali. Let's ignore Shinui, in case where there wasn't the Shinui. So everybody is saying that you pay ke'en shiganav. Rav said, not like that. Laymatabit to yufta de Rav. Rav said, keren ke'en shiganav. He pays according to Mishale, whatever it was worth at the time of the Gneva, Tashlume Kefel, and Tashlume Arbava Chamisha, meaning the remaining three and four component, you pay Kishata Bandavitin. So, okay, you've been discussing the issue of Shinui. But let's get beyond that now. If there wouldn't have been a Shinui, okay, and you do pay for Dalet Vehe, it says over here, you pay everything, Kishata Gneva. I don't understand what's Rav going to do with this. Omar Rava, says Rava, well, Rav will say like this. If you're coming to pay, this is how Rashi learns, very strange thing. Rashi learns like this. Tzla'im k'nami ikara. If you're coming along to pay what it is that you took. So you're saying to the guy, okay, sir, I stole a tleh from you. I am going to give you back four tlehs. What do you say about that? Or I stole an ego from you. I'm going to give you back five agalot. Because they're shvarim. Huh? Yeah. Okay. So we're fair and square. The guy says, what do you mean? What do you mean we're fair and square? Right now, at the time that you did the mice, it was a big shar, was worth five times as much. Well, this is what I stole from you. So in other words, the same type of svar that Rabbi Chanina said, to be machalik, whether, I mean, if the animal changed, over here when you paid back the animal that you took, what's the guy going to say? This is what I took. I took a tleh, here's a tleh.
The same tleh?
No, another tleh. It's the same thing. I'm going to give you four things. If I'm not going to give you those things, and I'm paying money, then that's where Rav was saying, if I'm paying damim, then einachinami, I go kishel achshav. That's the point. Now, this is a very, very unusual idea. However, remember that the entire concept of arba abba chamisha is a very unusual idea. So basically, it's a question of how do we understand the knas that the Torah gave? If I am going through giving you back four times graphically what I took, or five times what I took, I'm certainly Yotzei the Knas. Once I need to create an analog to what I took. Oh, there, says Rav, you're talking about analogs, okay. So the analog anyway is an analog. So what do we look at to create the analog? The time of the Geneva, or the time of the Maisa of the Tzvichu Mechira? I say, we take a look in the carrot component, 25% to 20%, as the case may be, whether you're talking about a Tzler, you're talking about the Egel, I say that, indeed, the analog is always kishata gzela, okay, if it was worth more. If you're talking about this, the extra component, I say it goes according to the sha'am, which you did it. This is Rashi's finish. Tosfos has a totally different approach. He rejects this approach utterly. And he says, the Gemara is not talking about the same case where you pay the teleh, and legabe tela'im, it's going to be kara. But if you substitute the analog of damim, that's never a meaningful halacha. It's talking about two separate cases. What the Gemara is saying is, the din of tzleh v'nasa ayil, that's what tzla'im means, referring back to the issue. Tzla'im, tzleh v'nasa ayil, or any type of change in the body. It was fat, you made it thin, you made it, whatever the case was, in changes in the body, so then, enachinami, you go back into meikara. This is the same thing we said before. Rav was never talking about changes in the body. Rav was talking about changes in dummy. And this bright is talking about changes in the body. So what does this have to do with what Rav was saying? Rav was talking about market fluctuations, remember? Okay. That's all that the Gemara is saying now. So, to lie in the issue of changes in the body, it's a strange way of saying, but since we were just talking about it, Tlaim and Asael, it's not so bad. Say Tlaim, meaning this business that you're comparing it to, of Tlaim, doesn't have anything to do with that. That's true, it's going to be Kara. When it comes to Damim, then you get into Rav. Okay, so now that we've introduced the issue of Shinui Keine, let's take a look at it a little bit more. Omer Rava. Look, this deal of Shinui Keine, says Rava, I mean, this is serious stuff. Shinui Keine is a beferish of Pasek, it's beferish in Mishnayot, and as far as the normative approach, what about Beit Shammai? This is a question. Was Beit Shammai denying the existence of Shinui Keine completely? Was he talking about the smaller Shinui? Was he talking about a Shinui in which the Torah is being makbid on Hakrova Lagabi Mizbeach? And over there, he's saying it isn't kind of, that's a lot of discussion. But we're talking about now, a little bit of Beit Hillel. Let's not get involved in the question of Beit Shammai. Says, Rabbi, look, it's a pasuk. Veshivat agzela asher gazal. All kinds of discussions. What's the meaning of the two psukim then? Because we have the Gam Shnehem by Etnan. This pasuk is talking about payment, which was a whole different issue. There may be other differences between them. But when it comes to the din of gazela, the Torah says, pay back, which means give back, hey sheev, give back what you stole. Now that means, I mean, what do you mean, what you stole? How else can you give back what you stole if it isn't what you stole? I mean, it's a little bit absurd to say, give back what you stole that you stole. Ha-gzeila asher gazal. If I say give back the gzeila, obviously it can't be anything else. Oh, but it can be, you see. Because what the Torah is saying is, if what you stole is still what you stole, then you have to give it back. But if it's no longer what you stole wood. And now you've turned the wood into a sculpture, into a chair. I don't know. Sounds completely different. So, imke ein shegazal yachzir. If it's still what you stole, so then fine, give it back. Ve'im lav, but if not, give him an analog, which is damim. So, damim ama by shalume, you'd give him back money. Yes, Abba, speak loud.
If there's an equivalency between what you stole, the value of what you stole, and the object, Why do we concern ourselves with having to give back the object if it's the same as so many dollars?
Never is an object the same as so many dollars, ever.
Can't you take the dollars and go and buy it? Well, other than a blue ribbon.
No, it's not other than. What's very, very important, as we spoke about early on in the Masechta, we talked about this in the very first major machloket about what the din is between the difference between Machalya Karna and Lo Machalya Karna in Machlokas Rashi and Tosas, if you recall, how Rashi could say that something that's not Machalya Karna, that's going to grow back just differently, that maybe that's not considered to be Hezek, and we need a special pasuk, but that's ridiculous. Value-wise, it's obviously Hezek. So we explained over there that the entire din of Mishpatim in the Torah is a relationship to objects. Throughout, when we talk about punishment, we talk about an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Now, there's never a chiyuv of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, nor is there a chiyuv of a shor for a shor, or a gazela for a gazela. You see? Why does the Torah put it that way? Because what the Torah is saying is, whatever the moral implications are, you can never make up for them. What are you going to pay a guy? Money for putting out his eye? You're going to pay him money for taking away his shor? It's not an equivalent. You've destroyed a particular relationship to a person. So the guy's going to say, but this was my grandmother's diamond. What do you care? I'm giving you back a diamond. Makes a difference, this diamond or another diamond? This diamond has been in my family for 20 generations. You're going to sell it for more because it's for 20 generations? So the Torah says, look, we can never make up for what we took. But all I'm being mechayev of you is to pay an analogous thing called value. Because that's what the interrelationship in society is worth. Not because that's what the thing is worth, you see. And that's true over here as well. You took something from me. Give it back. But I'm paying you for it. I don't want your money. I want what's mine. So if that thing exists, the Torah says, you absolutely must give it back. You can't pay for it. You can't pay 10 times as much for it. Give it back. But if the thing is no longer there, then we're stuck. And therefore, you can say, I'm paid you for it. Because it's no longer around. So this is a very important yesod that goes throughout. And it explains the odd terminology that the Torah keeps using. It's not that the rabbis have changed the meaning. It's that the moral implications are, and we do that, by the way, chayav b'dinei shamayim, poter b'dinei adam, the moral implications have extreme implications, levaisa, in Torah. But as far as what Besdin can do to you, they are limited to the quantitative, not the qualitative. And therefore, they're stuck with value.
Does the owner have a choice? The object or the value?
No. The guy can give him back and say, harisho chalafanech, even if he doesn't want it. So, this, therefore, is the pasuk, im ke'in shegazal yachzir, im lav dami ba'ama ba'yishalumi. So I say it's a pasuk. I furthermore say it's a Mishnah, says Rava. Tanina. I also say, look, the Mishnah says, Hagozel Itzim. Somebody steals wood and turns it into chairs or whatever. V'yasa'an Kelim. Somebody steals wool and turns that wool into a coat. V'yasa'an Begadim. Mishalem Kisha'at Hagzela. So then he pays back what it is that he stole. Or, Inami. Another Mishnah. Doesn't have to be that Mishnah. It's another Mishnah. It's the same thing. Lo yispik litnolo. This is a Mishnah Lagabe Reshit Hagez. So you are mechuyev to give to the Kohen the first of your wool shearings. Suppose you took those wool shearings and you dyed them, and now they're no longer the same. Lo yispik litnolo. Achatzavo, your potter. Because, in the first place, the Kohen could have come and grabbed them. And you could have said, oh, wait a minute, I was going to give that to another Kohen. Well, you know, too bad, it isn't yours. But in this case, he can't grab them anymore. So even though normally we cannot be Tovea, because we don't have a particular Kohen who could be Tovea. So in this case, when we say potter, we mean literally potter, but still it makes it afkamina la aloch. Alma shinui kaina. Now, I say further, says Rabbah, this is as far as changes. There's another issue, and that's a very important issue, which we're going to get into much more when we get to Baba Metzia, and that's the issue of yi'ush, where an owner no longer believes in his ownership. And that is called I despair. Now, there's cases where the despair is objective. Where is it objective? Katrina has come and is washing away your baby carriage, and it's going out into the sea. And there's nobody is going to be able to get that baby carriage. It washes up 100 miles away. You could be shouting, oh no, I want it back. That is an objective yiush. You've lost your baalut because it goes beyond the psychological connection that you have. It's an inability to ever assert that baalut, and therefore it's gone. It's not yours. Baalut doesn't only mean the fact that legally you paid for it. Baalut means an ability to assert some level of yourself over the object. But there's also the psychological component of the willingness to assert, the mental ability to assert. So if somebody is miyayesh, when it comes to the question of whether that involves a transference of the object to the gazlan, who now would be able to pay instead of returning, that there is, in fact, some question in my mind about. Amre Rabbanan Dedikne. The Rabbanan do say that you're Kohen. Now, the truth is, this is a machlokas. We paskin that you're not Kohen with Yush alone. And one way of understanding what Rabbah is referring to here is not Amre Rabbanan, the Rabbanan all say, but there are Rabbanan who say that it would be Kohen. Miu lo yadina, personally, I'm not sure whether they mean that midiraita or whether they mean that midirabbanan. Midiraita, the makar would be the din of Aveda. Well, you pick up something that somebody lost, right? So I would say, if it's the Oraita, then the source of the Torah would be, Mita Dehave Amotze Aveda. In the same way that somebody finds something lying in the street, the din over there is Motze Aveda. Lav Kiva Demi Yayish Lemari. If the person had given up before this guy picked it up, where we say, and this we learn out from the words Asher Tovad Mimenu, it's only he who lost it. But if indeed it was washed away by Katrina, so then by definition, he has no Baalut. We extend that into a din of yiush, a psychological yiush. So over there, if lav kiva de miyayish bari minei kabita teti liyade, is it not true that if the owner was miyayish for it, there would be no mitzvah of hashavat aveda because it's no longer the owner's? Then when it comes to the gzela, I mean, obviously you're going to have to return it because you stole it. But the object, the relationship of the owner to the object is no longer there. And therefore we would say, hainami kiva de miyayish bari, kodile with a kinyan gzela, or it's amakani, or the malokan, the damil aveda. Maybe it's not similar to aveda at all. Because by aveda, hu dechiyat aliyade, bet terah aliyade, it may well be that that's a function of whether the Torah was mechayev you to return it. So over there, since at the time that you picked it up, you weren't doing anything wrong, and if at that point the owner is no longer asserting psychologically his baalut, the Torah was not mechayev you to return it. But over here, given to be surah atay aliyade, you stole it. Once you stole it, it's very possible that the chiyuv to return the object remains in force, even though the owner has given up, because the Torah at that point says, this object goes back to that guy, whether he is thinking about it or not. Why would the Rabbanan change that? And they would say, if the guy is miyayish, you don't have to give it back. Because of a concept called takadat hashavim. Because what often happens is that a person steals something and ends up incorporating it in things that, to remove it, in the classic case, is takanat marish. A guy steals beams, and he builds a home using those beams in his ceiling. And the beams are still there. And all the years, every time he looks up at his ceiling, he says, oh, God, what did I mean, I could have paid for it, and I got to feel guilty for the rest of my life. I should do tshuva, but if I have to do tshuva, I'll have to tear down my house.
My wife will kill me.
I can't afford to do tshuva. This, of course, is the famous song, right? That's the George Harrison song. Forgive them, Lord, those who can't afford you. So I'd like to do tshuva, but it's too expensive. So, that, of course, there's other expenses besides your ceiling. You know, your lifestyle and everything else. Those are other expenses. But suppose you manage with those expenses. Now you got to tear down your house. You're not going to do tshuva. So say the Rabbanan, look, let's make a takana to enable people to do teshuva, and you don't have to tear down your house, you can give it back in money. So maybe the Rabbanan made a takana. Well, look, if the owner already gave up, you know, he was miyayesh, so pay him his money, he'll also be happy. So maybe the whole thing is only takana to Rabbanan. I'm not sure about that, says Rabba, whether it's the rights of the Rabbanan. Because it could be Rabbanan who, the Amar Rabbanan nickname, if they takanata shavim, give it back, because after all, we want to give a chance to a guy to do teshuva and not to have to give back the actual gezela. Rabbi Yosef says, there's no such thing as yush kona. I don't care whether it's deraita it's not kona, derabbanan it's not kona. There's no such takana. What? Eight for Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi. Let's take a look. Says Rabbi Yosef, you want me to show you there's no such takana? A guy steals chametz. He's over a lava Pesach. Now, he stole it before Pesach. Comes now, mitzoy Pesach. He says, well, I'm a very frumma guy, you know. I mean, I don't eat chametz over lava Pesach. I guess I'll give it back to the guy I stole it from, the friar. So, he goes ahead now. So, Omer la, Risha Chalafanecha. Gives back the chametz. He says, oh, I feel terrible. Here's what I stole from you. Of course, now it doesn't have any value. So, but there's no change in it. Tzesek Shenu Nikar. So now, wait a minute. Wasn't the guy Miyayish? Now, if there's such a thing as a Shinui Kaina, so then he'll say, what, this is not my chametz. I was Miyayish from the chametz. You were the one who created the chametz. You can only pay me money.
That's called a Shinui?
No, it's called Yush. Not a Shinui. Yush. But Rabbi Yosef says Yush has no meaning. I'm proving it to you. If Yush had meaning, how could you give me back the chametz? Said, this is not my chametz. Paying me back with somebody's chametz, okay? Let's see how much that chametz is worth. Boop, zero. Thank you. So, where's my money? So, therefore, this proves, Kimin Amati, then he's sort of Bada Miyayish. He certainly was Miyayish, this guy. V'isak, Kadayli Yush Koneh. Am I? How can he say, am I Omerlo, Aresha Cholifadecha? He's got to pay him. This thing isn't worth anything. Domi Mahoya Boshalomile. Omar Le, says Rabbi. Now, hold on a second. That's not fair. Because the only time that I said that Yush is Canaan is in a case where the Ganav wants to keep it. Over here, the Ganav is a very frum guy, like most Ganavim. So he wants Chas V'Shalom to be Canaan Chomet. Hi, Rechon El Itzalan. So Kika Amina Ana Zemit Yesh B'Zerot Tzeli Knot. We're only talking about a case where a guy steals something and he wants to keep what he's stealing. So over there, when the other person was Miyayesh, we're Mbakde Etehin with that Yush. Guy doesn't want to be kind, he can't force him to be kind now Bal Korcha. So in that case, there was no Kenyan. So he can say, Reshach HaLefanecha. V'zeh, no Ratzelik, no. Over here, he certainly doesn't want to take it. Eitvei Abaya, the Rabbah. Abaya asked Rabbah some question, whether this is Rava that he has to, or Rava. We'll see later on, a lot of discussion in Rishonim, whether this Girsa needs to be changed. It says, we're Medayik like this. Korbano. The Torah says, Im Ola Korbano. Now, Korbano means his own Korban. This teaches, says the Braita, Velo Hagazul. You cannot bring a korban that was stolen. Now I ask you, what do you mean a korban that was stolen? Echidami. If we're talking about a korban that was stolen and the guy was not Miyayish. So you stole an animal, and the guy was not Miyayish. Obviously you can't bring it as a korban. You can't even make it holy. It has to be yours. The guy was not Miyayish. What, are you going to bring Chulin Lazora? It's a lomeli krop sheet, obviously. And a lovely achri yish. This says, you steal an animal, the guy is Miyayish. The carbon is possible. You see that it's not yours. You're shlokana. Amar le. Amar le Rabba. Says Rabba to him. Well, the time is. You can ask the same thing. It says in the parsha of Tumat Ziva, Isha sher yigah b'mishkavo, yechabes b'katav. If a guy touches a mattress or a piece of skin that a zav is lying on, that he's using for a bed or a cot, so he becomes stomach. But how about if it doesn't belong to the Zav? It says Mishkava, Velo Agazul. If he stole it, it's not going to be Tami. Now I ask you, Echidami, tell me the case. What? The Gazlan stole raw wool and he turned it into now a cot. It's not his. Mihikala Madyomer Shinui Ba'aselokoni. Ela Mai Itlach Lamemar. What do you think it means over there? It means that somebody stole somebody's mishkav. And the Torah is telling me, Gzerata Katuv, this is how Rashi understands it, that if it's somebody else's thing, I can't be metameh it when it's already a mishkav. That's the same case over here. Not a guy stole an animal and made it a korban. A guy stole a korban. So Achinami, the guy's a korban de chavre. When you steal somebody else's korban, that someone else made it kodesh, and over here, forget about yirsh. We're not talking about there was yirsh. The chiddush is that you would say, okay, the korban was brought, so now whoever's korban it is, it's kosher. No, it's not kosher. Or you might think that if it's liak or yirsh, you could be kain it. No, you can't be kain it because since it belongs to hekdesh, wherever it is, it's exactly where it was before. Hashem is yir, Hashem is there, Hashem is
everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. It's really everywhere. Is that the word?
I guess so.
Have to be Medayek and Uncle, your uncle. Was it? Truly everywhere. That's it. Truly everywhere. So Mabela, there is nothing that could be Miyush in your Rishos. Whatever the case is, Rashi brings both possibilities. But here too, that's what it would be talking about by Gozal, the Mishkav of his friend.
Is that true?
No. Tosfos says and proves from many places that this is absolutely mad. You're telling me the din of Tumah v'Taira is dependent on who the owner is? Who ever heard of such a thing? And he brings different cases where clearly makes no nafka mina. Somebody's passing by, touches something that's yours. Obviously, it becomes Tumah and has nothing to do with who owns it. So what the Tosfos explains, the pshat and the ri, is that it's talking about over here, not that he stole an actual mishkav. He stole skin, which now needed to be defined as a mishkav. That because halacha is that nothing is yoreh b'day tumato until it's properly defined. So over here, the question is, can he define it? That's the issue. So over there, all it needs is a makshava. So that's the equivalent of gozal korban. Gozal korban dechavre. Okay, so over there, if it would have been chulin, it would have been the question of you're being miyachedit for kedusha. Over here, it's an or. I need to be miyachedit for a mishkav. That's the relationship between the korban and between the oron, says Tosfos. I don't know where you come up saying that something that isn't yours exerts a custom, you're not metamein. Eitvei abaya l'Rav Yosef. Orot shel ba'al abayit. Machshava mitamatan. So somebody owns raw skins. If he decides that now he's going to be using these raw skins, and the case that we had in the previous Mishnah was to turn it into a picnic tablecloth. It's a common usage for a raw skin. You put it on your animal, and you come to your park. You take it off the animal, you put it on the floor, and now you've got yourself a portable table, basically. So if the Baal HaBayit thinks this, the owner thinks this, it becomes shayach to tumah right away. Not to tumah, but to be makabel tumah right away. V'shel avdan, if you are the manufacturer, now the manufacturer is ready to sell it for anybody, right? And he's going to maybe, if nobody wants, he's going to turn it into shoes and make some more money off of it. So if he uses it for temporarily as a tablecloth, so it's not considered to be mekabel tumah. Why? Because it's not nigmar melachta. And because it's miyuchad over here for some much more sophisticated use. So it's not going to be yoredidei tumah. Shel ganav, a ganav. Now a ganav, of course, means a burglar as opposed to a gazlan. So a ganav, machshava is metamid. Why? Because everybody knows that the cops never find burglars. And therefore, if it's a ganav, forget about it. You're never going to get it back. But if it's a gazlan, now you know who did it, you might have enough protection to actually get the cops to respond. So shel gazlan, ein machshava metamatan. Rabbi Shimon, who lived in a different era or area, he says just the opposite. What do you mean? The cops at least sometimes can find fingerprints. But if the Gazan was strong enough, he comes from Chicago, if the Gazan was able to take it in broad daylight, the cops are never going to get it back. They're more scared of these guys than you are. So just the opposite. I say, if it's a burglar, so shall Gazlan, the Gazlan was kainet with Yush. But the Ganav, the guy's not Miyayish. And therefore, in Makshavut B'tamatan, Lefishalodit Yashua Balim, he's hoping still to get it back. Uh-huh. But everybody's agreed that Yush is certainly Kanev. The only question over here is, are you more Miyayish with a burglar than a Gazan, or vice versa? But the question of Yush, everybody says Yush. What are you telling me? That Yush is not Kanev. Amalei. Now, here it's talking about, it wasn't just Yush. It was Kitzan. You smoothed the edge. So when you smooth the edge, you also did a maisa. Now, it's only an aesthetic change, you see. You had a piece of skin hanging down, so sometimes pieces of skin are quite unaesthetic. So what you did is you cut it off to smooth it out. You know, now that's not considered to be a maisa gomur to be betame as a gemar kli. You still need makshava. However, there's a difference. So it's not a shinui, but coupled with yush, a yush that's coupled to a maisa over there, you can't say it's completely dependent on psychology. Over there, it's enough. Maybe that's the point. Now, hold on a second. The Mishnah before was clearly referring to an itzpa. An itzpa is this portable tablecloth, which is basically a portable picnic table. And it says beferish. Itzpa shanukan, the itzpa ein tzricha kitzua. The whole point of such a device is that we require and relate to no shinui whatsoever. We couldn't care less whether you made it a little bit more aesthetically pleasing or not. The whole point of it is that it's raw orot. And the Mishnah says, beferush, that it's not kol makom she'ein chisaron melacha, where there is no chisaron of melacha, nothing else required to be done, pure machshava is metane. If there is some chisaron of melacha, now obviously a raw skin certainly is chisaron melacha, so there, ein machshava metamat chutz mina itzpa. But if you're using a raw skin for an itzva, then, by definition, it's not really chusra malacha. It looks ugly. People are not makvid. So therefore, the makshav alone will be metame. Continues the Mishnah to discuss what the din is a gazan and a ganim. And you tell me, no, we're talking about where lemaisa, the guy decided to make it prettier. The whole context was that we're not talking about maisa. I refuse to accept that. Truth is, hello, my Rabbi, you know, Rabba and Rabbi Yosef fought over this for 22 years. Now this, of course, is very meaningful because Rabba and Rabbi Yosef were actually the two possible Rosh Hashivas where they had a question of who was more suitable to be Rosh Hashiva. Is it Rabba, who was very sharp, much sharper than Rabbi Yosef, or was it Rabbi Yosef, who was a great bucky, right? So he was called a Sinai, and the other one was called an Eiker Horing. So in the end, the Gemara said, Rabbi Yosef, they sent the Shaila, they sent them back, Rabbi Yosef is Rav Tvuot Bekoach Shor. So obviously he compared himself to Yosef HaTzadik. Rav Tvuot, the Torah is compared to food. Yosef was the Mashbir. And therefore he should, nonetheless, Yosef said, I'm not going first. You go first. So Rabbah became Rosh Hashiva for 22 years. Of course, 22 years is very significant in that story. Because 22 years was the period that Yosef was separated from Yaakov. If after those 22 years, Yosef becomes the head. That's exactly what happened here. So Rabbah died and then he became the head. On the day that he became the head. So of 22 years, Rabbi Yosef did not have a solution. Now, the question of the gears I mentioned that we had earlier, the gears is dependent on how to understand this. If this was a question that both Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef had, and before we have the gears of Rabbah, or we have the Rabbah and Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef were fighting about this, there's two gears out here and there too. So that Rabbah, according to one gears, Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef were both concerned with this issue. And for 22 years, Rabbah didn't have an answer. So when the day that Rabbi Yosef became Rosh Hashiva, he got the answer. If that's the pshat, then the Mefarshim say, because since everybody was saying, now it's a big come down, because now, you know, the less smart individuals Rosh Hashiva, so in order min Hashemayim to give him a heads up, so he was given to understand the answer to the question on the day he became Rosh Hashiva. Others, if you learn that it's not that, that we didn't need any heads up over here, then the point is that obviously once a person is appointed in the position in which he has all of the milas of both his ideas and this discussion with others, so then it becomes a rock concert, so that the audience provides the keach to give the answers. So that day, Adiyoti Rav Yosef Bereshi, he became Rosh Hashiva, and he answered the question, Upirka. And he said, I'll tell you why, in this case, we're talking about over here Shinui. Because he said, Shinui Hashem, ki Shinui Ma'aseh Dami. Case over here is that, you're right, we're not talking about that he cut it. Nonetheless, it is different, because it no longer is called a skin. It's called a porta table. And that is enough without a Maisa to actually change, without Stam Yush B'Alma. And that's the point. My time out, because look, the Mishnah talked about a Shinui for a Gazlan. That we said over there, Mikora Etzim Hashta Kelim. I mean, ultimately, it's that it's no longer what you stole. Okay. So it's same thing as Shuru Shinui Hashem. First it was called a skin. Mikora Korle Mashka, Vahashta Abizrin. Now we call it Abarzin, which is the portable picnic table. That's a different question, which we'll get to. That's called Shinui Achuzer Libriato, to be discussed later. Okay, we'll have to stop here because I'm losing my audience. But we really remember right in the middle because the case of the Morish.
Marish?
The case of the Marish, which was the roof beams carpenter.
So over there,
there was no change. But there's a change in the name. Exactly. So we're going to, why we need that Takana Dravana, that we shall get back to.
Stay
tuned for the next exciting episode. Omer Rav Sheshi Zalmani Beit Shammai. The Amri Shinu B'mekomo Omeid V'lo Kan Detan Natan Labet Nanachitim V'asan Solet Zeitim V'asan Shemet Anavim V'asan Yain Tani Kada Asur V'tani Kada Mutar V'yom Rav Yosef Tana Gurian Demi Asparuk Beit Shammai Oro Srinu Beit Yilu Matiri My Time to Beit Shammai Dikhtiv Toavat Hashem Elokecha Gam Shneem Gam L'Rabot Shinuyeyem Beit Yilu No Shneem Hem. V'lor shinuyei hem. Beit Shammai, that's true. Hem. V'lor tehem udiyata. Beit Hillel, hem means hem. Shvami natarte. Hem v'lor shinuyei hem. Hem v'lor tehem. Beit Hillel, aktiv gam. I don't know what to do about that. Gam l'beit Hillel kash. Anyway. I can't look like the Mar Sover Shinukin, the Mar Sover in Shinukin. I will in Shlume. Let's get me back to Rav. Kuleyama seemed to agree that me Korah, can be Korah Mashal. Tani, Mashal, the Shlume Kefal, the Shlume Yarbaba, Hamashal, Kain Shiganab, Lame David Juf, the Rav, the Amrav Karen Kain Shiganab, Mashal, the Shlume Kefal, the Shlume Yarbaba, Hamashal, Kisha Atama Davidin. Amar Rav, it's true. Tlaim can be Korah. But Damim, Kishalakshav. Which either means like Rashi, if you give the actual edible, then it's going to be kara. Money is only an analog. It goes kishalachshav. According to Tosfos, means the situation of a change in the body, like the case of Tle. Over there, it's going to be kara, because Rav never talked about that. Damim kishalachshav. But if you're paying now, a difference in market value. Nothing to do with what you're paying. Then that's where Rav was saying that it's kishasav adabedin. Amar Rava, Shinui Kaina is a well-established principle. Ktiva v'tanina, Ktiva v'yishivet agzera asher gazal, ma'atam anom asher gazal, im ke'in shegazal yachzir, v'im lav dami b'yama b'y shalumet. Furthermore, tanina, ha'gozel ha'itzim v'asa ha'kelim, tzeber v'yasan begadim, mishalim kishat agzela, or you want another mishra, bring another mishra. Inami, lo yispik l'tlol of the reshet ha'gez, ha'chit tzeva o, patur, amar Shinui Kaina. Now, as far as Yush, I say, the Rabbanan said, you're kind of, I'm not sure. Lo yadinim mid yoraita, mid Rabbanan. I mean, if it's the yoraita, then the source obviously would be mid Rabbi Motzi Aveda. Motzi Aveda, is it not true? That kibbe de miyayi shmore mine bekabi de tetele yadei kanile. Therefore, here too, kibbe de miyayi shmore mine kanile. I'm a kani. Odema lo damil Aveda, because dafka Aveda, where the chiatayle yadei bet, tera tele yadei. So at that point, the shinui is the year should be meaningful. The Torah wouldn't have acknowledged Yush at all. So it may well be that it's only Mirabbanan who the Omer Rabbanan nickname, and the reason for that would be Takanat HaShavim. Whereas Rabbi Yosef says there's no such animal as Yush being Kona on its own by a case of Geneva. Afilu Mirabbanan. Eight for Rabbi Yosef Lerabba. Gozal Chametz, Ve'avar Alav HaPesach, Omer Lo Reishol Chalafanecha. V'hai Kivet Abati Yidat Yisura Vare V'yayish, Isaac that Liush Kaina, am I Omer La Rachel Khalafanecha? Don't be my shwimile. I never said that it's Kaina all on its own. Obviously the guy has to want to be Kaina, doesn't it? So Kikamina Anna Zemit Yesh Vizerot Seliknot. This is an example of Zemit Yesh Vizay no rot seliknot. Eight they are by a rabba. Korbano Veloa Gazul. Nahekidami. He lamelif neyush lamalikra. Obviously he can't even make it English. Ella lovely ach yush. Apparently Yush is not Kaina. Omale Rava indeed. That it's talk about he stole the mishkav the chavre. Then the equivalent words here are the gozel korban the chavre. Eight ve'avayel Rav Yosef orot shabal avayet machshava metamatan shel avdan in machshava metamatan shel ganav machshava metamatan shel gazan in machshava metamatan and Rabbi Shimon says just the opposite. Chiluf adivarim shel gazlan machshava metamatan, but a ganav there's no yirsh because you hope the cops will actually find the guy. Ein machshava metamatan l'fishalon et yirshu v'alim. Okay, so everybody agrees, however, that yirsh is kind of. We're only arguing where there is yirsh. Amalei, well, of course, that's talking about achmai skinan, not just yirsh. It's talking about over there shekitz an. Matkif la Rava bar Rav Chanan, the whole...
I usually think it's a shinoi.
What's that? No. But it's coupled now to an act that can actually... You have a minimal shinoi maisa with Yush. But you were saying shinoi alone wouldn't be kind of... Says he to him, how can we say this? Look at the context there, sir. And the context is talking about Matkif la Rava bar Rav Chanan. We're talking about an itzpa contextually. Shalukan. The itzba ain't tzricha kitzua at all. The tzarkom akom shein chisaron melacha, makshava metamato. Yesh chisaron melacha, ain't makshava metamato. Chutz mina itzba. It's the whole point. Ela omar rava, the truth is, ha milta kashe be rava le Rav Yosef, esrin vetartin shnin, v'lo ifrika, adiyotiv Rav Yosef, bereisha upirka. Shinui Hashem, ki shinui ha-maase dami. Because look, the whole point of a shinui maase, my time. Because after Mikara Itzim, Hashta Kilim. Same thing is true of Shinei Hashem. Mikara Karle Mashka, Vahashta Abarzin.